As the sirens continued to wail across town, I went to the phone and called Wiley Meek. He was just about to call me. "They tried to blow up Maxine Root," he said. I told the Ruffins there'd been an accident and left them on the porch. When I got near the subdivision where the Roots lived, the main roads were blocked and traffic was being turned away. I hustled over to the hospital and found a young doctor I knew. He said that there were 4 injured, none of whom appeared to be in grave danger. Judge Omar Noos was holding court in Clanton that afternoon. In fact, he later said that he heard the explosion. Rufus Buckley and Sheriff McNatt met with him for over an hour in chambers, and what they discussed was never revealed. As we waited in the courtroom, Harry Rex and most of the other lawyers loitering there were certain that they were debating how to handle an arrest warrant for Danny Padgett when there was so little proof that he had done anything wrong. But something had to be done. Someone had to be arrested. The sheriff had a population to protect. He had to take action, even if it wasn't entirely proper. We got a report that Travis and Teddy Ray had been transported to one of the hospitals in Memphis for surgery. Maxine and her neighbor were under the knife at that very moment. Again, it was the opinion of the doctors that no life was in jeopardy. Travis might lose his right arm, though. How many people in Ford County knew how to make package bombs? Who had access to explosives? Who had motive? As we argued these questions in the courtroom, they were evidently being argued back in chambers as well. Noos, Buckley, and McNatt were all elected officials. The good people of Ford County needed their protection. Since Danny Padgett was the only conceivable suspect, Judge Noos finally issued a warrant for his arrest. Lucian was notified, and he took the news without objection. At that moment, not even Padgett's lawyer could argue with the strategy of bringing him in for processing. He could always be released later. A few minutes after 5 p.m., a convoy of police cars blew out of Clanton and headed for Padgett Island. Harry Rex now owned a police scanner. There were quite a few new ones in town, and we sat in his office sipping beer, listening to it squawk with unchecked fury. It had to be the most exciting arrest in the history of our county, and many of us wanted to be there. Would the Padgetts block the road and thwart the arrest? Would there be gunfire? A small war. From the chatter, we were able to follow most of what was happening. At Highway 42, McNatt and his men were met by 10 units of the State Highway Patrol. We assumed a unit meant nothing more than a car, but it sounded far more serious. They proceeded to Highway 401, turned onto the county road that led to the island, and at the bridge, where everyone expected some dramatic showdown, there sat Danny Padgett in the car with his lawyer. The voices on the scanner were quick and anxious. "He's with his lawyer."
"Will Banks?"
"Yep."
"Let's shoot both of them."
"They're getting out of the car."
"Will Banks is holding up his hands, smart ass." "It's Danny Padgett, all right, hands held high."
"I'd like to knock that smile off his face."
"They got the cuffs on him." "Damn it,"
Harry Rex yelled across his desk.
"I wanted some gunfire, just like in the old days."
We were at the jail an hour later when the parade of red and blue lights came swarming in. Sheriff McNatt had wisely placed Padgett in the patrol car of a state trooper, otherwise his deputies might have roughed him up during the ride. 2 of their colleagues were in surgery in Memphis, and feelings were pretty raw. A mob had gathered outside the jail. Padgett was jeered and cursed as he was rushed inside. Then the sheriff angrily told the hotheads to go home. Seeing him in handcuffs brought a great sense of relief, and the news that he was in custody was like a bomb for the entire county. The heavy cloud had been lifted. Clanton came to life that night. When I returned to the Hocut house after dark, the Ruffin clan was in a festive mood. Miss Callie was as relaxed as I'd seen her in a long time. We sat on the porch for a long time, telling stories, laughing, listening to Aretha Franklin and the Temptations, even listening to an occasional burst of fireworks.